on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to special coverage of the mistrial in the case of Officer William Porter. We're going to move now to a press conference just about to get underway downtown Baltimore with Police Commissioner Kevin Davis and the Mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake.
Good afternoon. Earlier today, the jury in the criminal case of Officer William Porter ended its deliberations without being able to reach a unanimous verdict. All of us, if we believe in justice, must have respect for the outcome of the judicial process. This is our American system of justice. 12 Baltimore City residents answered the solemn call to serve. They listened to the evidence presented, and they rendered a decision. If some choose to protest, they must peacefully demonstrate. That is their right. But I also want to be very, very clear about any potential disturbances in our city. We are prepared to respond. We will protect our residents. We will protect our neighborhoods, our businesses, and we will protect the safety of our first responders. I urge everyone to remember that collectively our reaction needs to be one of respect for our neighborhoods and for the residents and the businesses of our city and for those who have answered the call to serve and protect. We will not and cannot be defined by the unrest of last spring. As a city, as a community, we are stronger and we are united to be better than what some displayed to the world in the spring. For the past 8 months, we have worked relentlessly to unite Baltimore with a resolve to have peace in our streets. We have a chance to show the country how to be heard peacefully, respectfully, and effectively. I know that as a community, we are up to the task. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. For the protesters, and there are certainly protesters out on our streets right now, and there will be in the days to come, we respect the right of Americans to protest. Protesters who are lawfully assembled have a friend in the Baltimore Police Department. We are here to serve as peacekeepers, quite frankly. So we respect the right to protest. We respect protesters and what they have meant for so many years in this great country of ours. And those protesters who are lawfully assembled, again, will find that our police department respects them and will do everything we can to afford them the ability to protest in this city. Folks who choose to commit crimes and hurt people and break things and harm people are no longer protesters. You lose your ability to call yourself a protester when you choose to harm people and destroy property. So I think that's something we've spoken about for a few months now. I believe the vast majority of folks, quite frankly, understand that very, very well. We, too, respect the criminal justice process in this country, and we exist to protect it. And we pledge to this city, both our police department and our fire department. We have Fire Chief Niles Ford here with us today. Our pledge to the folks in Baltimore is one of public safety. We're here to protect, we're here to serve, and we take that responsibility very, very seriously. Thank you.
Who's up next?
Four questions.
Yes. Did anyone have any brief questions?
Commissioner Davis, you had said that you were monitoring social media on April 27th. Is there any signs similar to disturbance that you had seen that you're monitoring on social media now?
We continue to monitor social media. We have a pretty robust system in place to make sure that we have every capacity available to identify things that we should know about. And right now, there's nothing that concerns us, nothing that has been brought to our attention at this moment that doesn't give us the impression of any type of wrongdoing whatsoever.
Commissioner, I know your comments may be brief in what you can say or limited in what you can say, but one of your officers in his trial, now his trial declared a mistrial. What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is it's part of this process and this great American criminal justice process. And, you know, many Americans think that it's imperfect, our criminal justice process, and maybe it is imperfect, but it sure beats what comes in second. So I think we all have to respect the process. The process is ongoing. It's not the last time we'll talk about it. And I think we just have to be consistent, measured, and thoughtful as we go forward, because Baltimoreans need to know that their police department, of all groups of people, have to respect the criminal justice process, and we do.
Commissioner, Officer Porter's status remains the same at this point as it was this morning?
Right. He remains suspended without pay.
Any other questions?
Can anyone touch on the arrest that was made outside of the courthouse?
I guess briefly, we have many, many partners here. And I'll say one thing about Maryland law enforcement. There's no other place in the country, and I'm biased, that does this thing better than Maryland Public Safety. We really have come together as a team to ensure that this great city is protected. I do know that the Sheriff's Department has made a couple of arrests. I'm not sure the exact nature of those arrests, and I'm sure that's something that they'll be addressing as the night moves on. Well, we have many strategies in place in West Baltimore, East Baltimore, South Baltimore, North Baltimore, throughout this city, to ensure that the peace is kept. I intend to you know, visit West Baltimore later tonight. As you probably know, there's been groups of faith-based folks who have spent the last couple nights in West Baltimore, in North and Penn, holding hands, speaking with one another, saying prayers for this great city, and I intend to join them later tonight as a show of unity and a show of peace.
What role can you say that the courtroom is playing in this, and have you requested any additional help from federal authorities tonight?
Well, we have an incident command structure. We have the Office of Emergency Management plays a vital role. So, again, Maryland law enforcement has come together in a very unique way. You know, we're not a big state, but we're big in terms of our fraternalism with one another, and everyone across the state, every jurisdiction, every county across the state, has really stepped up and has pledged to protect this great city that really defines Maryland in so many special ways. So it's a great partnership.
Barry Sims.
Mayor, what do you say to the protesters and others who feel that this is just another sign of things that have happened in the past, that there is no justice, and they feel discouraged by what's happened today? What do you say to them?
I would say that we have to respect the process. When we ask, let me start by saying this. The protesters were very clear that they supported this trial being held in Baltimore City. That means that they put the case in the hands of Baltimore City residents. 12 Baltimore City residents answered that very solemn call to serve, to hear this case, and to make a decision. They did that. And we have to respect that if we think that the process will be able to continue in Baltimore City. We have to respect the process. Justice is not a verdict. Justice is a process that we have to protect.
Madam Mayor, in terms of what we've seen on social media, what we're seeing on social media at this hour, people are tweeting and so forth about Baltimore City being on edge. What you have seen today, how would you characterize Baltimore City in terms of its response?
I would say that Baltimore City is prepared. I think in efforts for some of your peers to have something to say about what's going on in Baltimore, they have characterized us as on edge. I've been very clear that we're prepared for whatever happens. And, you know, I think that what you're seeing today bears that out.
How many police officers are in Baltimore City today from various agencies?
We're not going to get into the exact numbers because that's part of our strategy, but there are enough people here, law enforcement, public safety, to serve as peacekeepers to protect this great city.
And do you have federal officers as well as state officers?
The federal law enforcement agencies play a role. Obviously, their roles are different, and you know our partnerships with them continue. But this is a local law enforcement public safety effort, and so as we serve as peacekeepers, we're doing it not only with our partners throughout the state of Maryland, we're doing it with our community. So you've seen them out at North and Penn the last couple nights. You'll see them out there again tonight, I'm sure. But the community is our biggest partner as we move forward in the days ahead.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
That is police media spokesman T.J. Smith finishing up a press conference that featured Police Commissioner Kevin Davis and the mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake. Stephanie Rawlings Blake saying that the citizens of Baltimore have to respect the process, noting that protesters were very, very adamant about their insistence that the trial take place in Baltimore. It has done that. The trial has taken place. The jury of 12 Baltimore citizens not able to reach a verdict in any of the four counts against Officer William Porter. The mayor saying that the process has to be respected. Commissioner Davis talking about the fact that there's been a great deal of coordination between various branches of Maryland law enforcement around the state. They are in town and helping out the Baltimore Police Department, the Sheriff's Department. Earlier in the press conference, responding to a question, Police Commissioner Davis said that Officer Porter remains suspended without pay on as a member of the Baltimore Police Department. We will, of course, continue to keep you updated if there are any other developments and any other statements from the mayor. We have received statements from several political leaders. We'll try to get to those in a minute or two if we can. Joining us on the phone now, Ben Jealous is the former president of the NAACP. He has been involved in civil rights for most of his adult life. Ben Jealous, your reaction to the hung jury in the case of Officer William Porter?
Well, you know, I mean, this is one of those things that you frankly don't expect to see, but that do happen from time to time. And most of the time, should the prosecutors choose to recharge, which I think they should, the person's found guilty. And so, you know, the hope here is that the prosecutors will, you know, pursue a new trial, and that you know, the officer will be treated fairly. But I think the evidence suggests, you know, should be held accountable, should be found guilty. But, you know, we'll see.
The fact that in a legal proceeding, the standard is in a criminal proceeding, the standard is considerably higher than the standard in a civil proceeding. Do you think it may be simply the case that, you know, Officer Porter's negligence in what he could have done, what he perhaps even should have done to assist Mr. Gray when he was in distress, just simply does not meet the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt? In other words, the prosecutors had to prove that any reasonable person would have essentially felt the same way as Officer Porter. Do you think that that standard as a criminal matter, perhaps in this case, is just going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to meet?
You know, look, I think there's a no. I don't think it's going to be difficult or impossible to meet. Certainly not impossible to meet. I mean, the reality is that apparently several jurors were convinced that that was the case, right? And some weren't, and that's why you have a hung jury. So this actually suggests that for many jurors, that standard, you know, could be met. And these jurors were selected very carefully, appear by all intents and purposes to be a very fair jury. It is important for citizens to keep in mind, those who are frustrated that they haven't seen a conviction, that there are several possibilities here to hold this officer accountable, to hold the department accountable. One of those is the criminal process, which, again, the prosecutors can choose to recharge. I hope they will. And you know, given the odds, when you have a hung jury, it often leads to conviction. So there's reason to be hopeful for those who would like to see a conviction that's would be a likely outcome of a second trial. At the same time, as you mentioned, there are several civil options, and the way these things work is you go through the criminal options first, you go through the civil second, and so that would follow.
Given the fact that the city has also already come to an agreement, a settlement with Gloria Darden, the mother of Freddie Gray and Freddie Gray's family, would further civil action be even possible once the criminal actions are taken care of?
Well, you know, there are options, related to, you know, federal civil rights charges, but the real hope here, you know, quite frankly, is that the prosecutors come back and they charge again, and we, see a trial where there is a decision and it can be clear. I mean, this is, I think, for the public, for all of us, a very surprised decision. The other important thing in this moment, quite frankly, is that the city do as much, you know, as it possibly can to rebuild trust with communities and to actually move forward on reforming the department. It's nice to see Commissioner Davis doing some things, but we got to get beyond sensitivity training, you know, cultural sensitivity training, sending officers to black churches, especially when half the officers are black. And we've got to get into the real meat of it. You know, that's quite frankly what I hope is also going on while we wait to go through this, you know, the next six trials, you know, assuming that he is recharged, we'll be back to going through six trials.
Ben Jealous is the former president of the NAACP. Ben Jealous, thanks so much for your time. I know you've got to run. Appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you, Tom.
Rejoining us now on the phone, Brandon Scott, councilman from the city of Baltimore. Councilman Scott, to Mr. Jealous's point, the fact that this is a process, do you think this is going to be a distinction that young people in particular are going to be able to make, the difference between a hung jury and the difference between a hung jury and an acquittal? Officer Porter has not been acquitted.
I think that depends on us adults. I know that, as I've been saying throughout April and throughout the month that follows, it was very important for us to explain the process and explain, you know, what could happen, all possibilities, and what everything that they could expect. And it's up for us to explain that to young people to help them understand what's going on. And young people are very smart. The young people in Baltimore are some of the most intelligent people I've ever met. So they understand things as long as we provide the opportunity. But that's up for us adults to make sure. Most of them will. We just have to continuously explain to young people if they have questions.
On the Facebook page of Be More Block, which is one of the group of activists of young people, and we should mention that you are a co-founder along with Munir Bahar of the 300 Men March, but a different group, Be More Block, said, no conviction, we shut it down, meaning shut down the city. What do you say?
They're talking about protest. That's something that they do all the time. And you also have to understand that not all of the people involved in Baltimore Block are young people, but you have to understand that Baltimore Block participates in these protests on a weekly basis, and they don't have issues. So, you know, we have to understand that that is just one small demographic of people, and that they have the right to protest, and as long as they're doing it in a peaceful manner, does not impact people, that is quite all right. But for the majority of the young people who are not a part of an organization like that, who do not get the kind of information that those imperative that every adult that has a child or know a child, doesn't care if it's your cousin, brother, whatever, you have to talk students. We have to be talking to kids in school. This is something that, you know, we have to continuously do as we go through this process.
We should mention that at the same time that Commissioner Davis and Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake were having a press conference talking about the posture of the police and the mayor encouraging people to remain calm, that Billy Murphy, who is the attorney for the family of Freddie Gray, was also urging for calm, saying that this is the justice system at work. Councilman, what is your understanding, what is your personal assessment of the preparations that Commissioner Davis has put in place with the police department in coordination with other Maryland law enforcement agencies? There have been some people who've suggested perhaps he's been overreacting, that the preparedness has gone too far. What do you think?
I think that they're just prepared. I think that it's a situation where April they were clearly not prepared, and this time they're prepared. While they hope that nothing goes on, and that's what we all expect, is that we will continue to be Baltimore that has issues and people protest, and we're going to work to handle those issues. But at the same time, they have to be prepared. So you can't have it both ways, right? So I think that they're prepared. I know that this commissioner, the communication that he's had with us and the community has been a drastic difference than the communication style that was under the previous commissioner, which helped. Communication is the key. So I think that they're better prepared. I know that they're better managed, and that's what we've been seeing since he took over.
Councilman Brandon Scott, thank you for your time. I appreciate it, sir. We will be back in touch as we continue our coverage. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Fraternal Order of Police, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Gene Ryan, has issued a statement, as have many political leaders. Let me read briefly from Gene Ryan's statement. He, again, is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. He says, quote, "When Officer Porter began this journey through the judicial process, we asked that everyone allow him his day in court, as is promised to all citizens. Today, 7 months later, Officer Porter is no closer to a resolution than he was at that time. Our legal system, however, allows for outcomes of this nature, and we must respect the decision of the jury, despite the fact that it is obviously frustrating to everyone involved." We've also received a statement issued from Governor Larry Hogan. He says the administration respects the legal process that is currently underway and will continue to monitor activity in the city. Joining me on the line now is Mark Schindler. He is the executive director of the Justice Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. Mr. Schindler, your reaction to the verdict in the trial of Officer William Porter, and for folks who are just joining us, Officer Porter received a hung jury on all four counts that were brought against him.
Yeah, good evening, and glad to be with you. So my reaction is that this is not terribly surprising, particularly considering, you know, what we learned over the last day or so. These are very difficult cases, and there was a lot of evidence put before the jury, so I don't think we should be too surprised. And as I understand it, they are already talking about scheduling a possible date for retrial. So my hope is that the pursuit for justice will continue in this case.
You're the executive director of the Justice Policy Institute. A few guests that we've had on this afternoon as we have this coverage of the verdict or the lack of a verdict in the Officer William Porter case have said that the system has problems, that the judicial system itself is systemically flawed. What's your reaction to that point of view?
Well, I think it is important for us to look at the larger issues beyond just the judicial system, but the justice system generally, and even larger. And so I think we should note the timing of today's announcement in court is just one day before the governor's Justice Reinvestment Council, which was legislatively created in Annapolis, will be releasing its final report and recommendations tomorrow afternoon. And I think that's important to note because that council is looking specifically at issues in the justice system, and considering the fact that Maryland spends an inordinate amount of resources on incarceration, how can we safely reduce the number of people that are incarcerated and reinvest those savings into communities like Sandtown, Winchester, where Freddie Gray was from, so that we can actually start to get to some of the issues that led to the types of interactions that resulted in Freddie Gray's death. So I think it's really important for us to look at the larger picture and think about what the this reinvestment council will be recommending tomorrow.
Mark Schindler is the executive director of the Justice Policy Institute. Mr. Schindler, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
Kenny Burns joins us from Courthouse East. He has been covering this trial since it began on the 30th of November. Kenny, we just have about a minute. We're hearing media reports that say there's actually more media downtown in front of the courthouse than there are protesters. What do you think?
Well, Tom, I could tell you I'm actually in front of City Hall. I'm in the plaza. There are some protesters here. A few moments ago, Freddie Gray's attorney, Billy Murphy, held a news conference in front of the Mitchell Courthouse. This is the courthouse across from where the trials took place. Real quick, among the questions that he had, one of his comments was that people who say that what happened today in court was not justice does not know how the system works. And as you and your guests have been explaining excellently, is that this is a hung jury. No one was acquitted. No one was found guilty. No one was found guilty. It's a hung jury. And this means that possibly, quite possibly, this all could happen. Officer Porter could be retried. With that said, there is a he also said that the family wants there to be calm in the city and wants everyone to take stock of what happened and understand what happened. And he said that this is an important stage in the case, frankly, whether Officer Porter will be retried or not. And we won't find that out quite possibly until tomorrow when you have the scheduling conference, whether he'll be retried or whether he will not be tried again. But like I said, that will be answered as soon as tomorrow.
Right, and it seems likely that prosecutors will attempt to retry Officer Porter. But again, as you say, we won't know that for sure until the administrative law hearing tomorrow. But as far as you can tell, at this juncture in front of City Hall, and you were at Courthouse East earlier, things are calm and that there's been some small skirmishes, but there's certainly no violence going on in the city at this point.
Yes, indeed, Tom. Things are calm and peaceful in front of City Hall and in front of the courthouse. There was a brief scuffle earlier today, shortly after the mistrial was declared.
Right. Okay, well, Kenny, that's all the time we have this afternoon. We appreciate all the coverage you've offered to us over these last couple of weeks, and we, of course, will be in touch as we continue to cover the trial of Officer William Porter, which has ended in a mistrial. If you've just joined us, the jury was not able to come to a conclusion or a decision on any of the four counts brought against Officer William Porter. He is the first of six Baltimore police officers who are on trial in the death of Freddie Gray, who died while in police custody in April of this year. WIPR will continue its special coverage. We will break in as news develops. Now we're going to return to All Things Considered. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall.